Christopher. Brother Joseph Hammond, I guess he had sent out a flyer saying he is having meetings, special meetings, August 20th, 21st, and 22nd. Well, he sent me a postcard saying cancellation of the meetings due to the ongoing outbreak of the Delta variant of the COVID-19 virus. We regrettably feel it would be best to cancel our annual homecoming meetings for the health safety of all. So, in case you knew about those meetings, well, he's canceled them now. Brother Donnie has shut down his church. He's been shut down for 2 weeks now due to COVID. So, it's still out there. I know that sometimes people get a little lax with it, especially if they haven't had it or don't have anybody close to them they know of that's had it. And but it's still there, and still need to take precautions. And we still need to be aware of it. And let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer before we go to the scripture this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time to come together, Lord, and to be able to fellowship around the word of God, feast upon the end time message. We ask, God, that you be with us in this service, guide us, lead us, and I pray, dear God, that you will direct us down the paths that you would have us to take this morning. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. I'd like to read from the book of Psalms, chapter 105, Psalms 105. What I'd like to speak on this morning is respects. Respects. Nate, I forgot to get a couple of waters. Bring out with me. If you could give me a couple, I'd appreciate it. It says, O give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and his judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations, which covenant he made with Abraham and his oath unto Isaac, and confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law and to Israel for an everlasting covenant, saying unto to thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance. And when they were but a few men in number, yea, very few, and strangers in it, when they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong, yea, he reproved kings for their sakes, saying, touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm. You may be seated. Wanted to speak on this morning's respects, and respects is something we owe to God. And Brother Branham said that's the one thing I would like to drill into the heart of every person tonight, that in all things we see going on, we must give respects to it. So what the direction we see the church going in, if we've got confidence that God has placed a pastor there and given him the leadership for that church, then we ought to have respects for what's going on in the church. We ought to have respects for the decisions it's made. And in Ecclesiastes 12, it said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Brother Branham says the conclusion of the whole matter is fear God. And when you cannot have respects until you have fear, you've got to have fear of God. Solomon said, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Brother Branham said, it doesn't mean to be afraid of him, but it means you're given respects and reverence. And when you respect God, you fear God. You fear that you might displease him in some way. You fear lest you do something wrong. And that's something we should keep in mind during our conversations with one another. It's something we should keep in mind when we're having our conversations with one another, let's don't be talking about one another. And, I know that over the last year that there were questions that individuals had for me with why I was approaching doing our services the way I did and COVID and so on. And those that contacted me about it, why I tried to answer the questions the best I could. I know there was talk that went on about it without me present. And I'm going to tell you something. You might have been wondering, but you should have kept your wonderment between you and God and me, not between each other. Because when you begin to speak about, well, I don't understand what Brother Jerry's doing this and why Brother Jerry's doing that, you're walking a fine line. You're walking a fine line between criticizing the leadership of God. Now, I found it a little strange that the Lord would lead me on a message such as this. Being that I've been here so many years, you would think I wouldn't have to preach on something like this. But sometimes I guess we need to be reminded. And the Holy Spirit brought some things to my attention, and not through Brother Chloe, but just the Holy Spirit himself bringing things to my attention. And then it just laid this message upon my heart. Now, the Bible says here that we read, said, he reproved kings for their sake. And we're all familiar with the account in the Bible in Genesis 20 about how when Abraham went to Gerar, that he told Abimelech, the king, that Sarah was his sister. And of course, someone might say, well, that was just a little white lie because she actually was his sister, Abraham said, just had the same father, just a different mother. And so she was his sister, but he married her also. And so she was his wife. And so Abimelech saw the beauty of Sarah. And remember, this is after that God had visited them in the plains of Mamre. So he did that in Genesis 17. This is after that he had spoken, said Sarah was going to have a son. This is after they had begun to have a body change and begin to get young again to where they could have this son. And so the king looked upon Sarah, and he longed to take her for a wife. And he set about to do it. And if it hadn't have been for God come in the middle of the night in a dream, he would have took Sarah for his wife. And Abraham, Abraham said, he told Abraham, why'd you do this? Abraham said, because he was afraid. So Abraham, over his fear, was willing to let somebody else take his wife because he was afraid of death. He was afraid they'd kill him. Now, the Lord told the king, he said, that's his wife, and you better restore her to him, not lay a hand on her, restore her to him, and you have him pray for you, otherwise you're going to die. So, he reproved kings for their sake. Now, I don't know whether Abraham passed this story along to Isaac or not. But Isaac went down to the same place, Gerar, same king, Abimelech. And the same place, same king told him Rebekah was his sister. And then Abimelech saw them throughout the window, and Isaac acting like more like that she was his wife. And he called him in and said, "Surely she's your wife. And you told me she was your sister." So Abimelech had kind of learned something here. He wasn't about to let any man touch Rebekah, because he had already had this dream with the father of Isaac, you know, and his mother. And so he said, if any man touch her or this man, then it'll be his life. And so God had reproved kings for their sake. God would not, even in their fault, even when they were wrong, even when they told something wrong, God would not let anyone harm them, saying, "Touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm." And even though Abraham had told this, or had Sarah tell it, you know, the way Brother Branham had Meaty tell the tax man, he wasn't in there. He had Sarah tell it, but yet God said, "He's my prophet." And said, "You better have him pray for you or you're going to die." So he was still God's prophet. Brother Branham said that he was backslid a little bit, but he was still God's prophet. It didn't change that. And so what I see from this is, because Isaac said the same thing. He said that Rebekah was fair to look upon, and so he was afraid somebody would take his life for his wife's sake. And what it shows me is they were human. They were human. But you know what? God overlooked their humanity, and God looked at what he had called them to, and God said, "Don't touch them." Brother Branham says in the message of respects, and I was reading through that message and then some other messages as well, but I want to refer to some things here. Brother Branham says in that message, he said, "Who would President Kennedy be if he wasn't President Kennedy? If he was just some man that worked down here at Colgate's," he said, "for $40 a week, then probably nobody would even pay him any attention. But," he said, "because he's the President of the United States, we owe him, he deserves respect." Now, what I find thinking about this is, Brother Branham wasn't particularly fond of John F. Kennedy. He said that Kennedy got in because it was a crooked vote. And he said about him being the first Catholic president. And he said it was the woman's vote to put him in there. And so, but even with all that, and what his opinion was, he said, because he's the president of the United States, he deserves a respect. Now, two things I want to draw from this. One, and just real quick on this part, is many of us believe that the last election was by crook. And, but Biden, Joseph Biden, still our president, so we ought to respect him as being our president, whether we agree with him or his policies or not. Brother Branham didn't agree with Kennedy. Brother Branham said he voted for Nixon, but he still respected him. Okay, now that was just the first, and I don't want to spend any more time on that. The next one is, just because that you don't like a man, or you don't like the way he does something, but the position he's in demands your respect. So you might not always agree with the pastor, but the position God's put him in, Brother Branham says, if you can't respect the man, respect the position that God has placed him in. He said God deserves respect because he's God. Then the pastor deserves respect because he's the pastor. He said God demanded for himself and for all his servants respect. God demands respect for his servants. His servants, how we know that they're his servants is because he vindicates these servants by his word. He takes these servants and makes them servants of God and proves that they are servants by making his word work through them, servants. Then as you respect that servant, you respect God. So when I respect you and you respect me and we respect each other, then we're respecting God. And Jesus said, in so much as you've done it unto the least of these, my children, you've done it unto me. So that's why Brother Branham was saying, if you respect one another, then you're respecting God. If you respect God's servants, then you're respecting God. People didn't agree with Noah. They thought he was crazy. They thought he was out of his head, building this great big old ark out of gopher wood. Didn't make a bit of sense in the world to them. Saying that it was going to rain and the earth was going to flood, something that had never happened since the beginning of time. But he said it's going to happen. And they mocked him. And he had scoffers. And Brother Branham says, so God brought judgment upon them scoffers because they wouldn't listen to the messenger of God and come into the ark under his preaching. So when you don't listen to the messenger, then you're going to face something from God. If you're God's children, you're going to end up getting a real whipping. And I don't mean some lashing from the pulpit. I mean God himself, brother, he can come down and give you a good whipping. He can set things in straight. He has corrected me before, so I know what it's like to be corrected by God. And he don't play around. When he brings correction, you're going to end up knowing God's correcting you. It isn't like there was a brother years ago who had a son, you know, and they come and visit us, and they had a child later in life. And the child did something, and they said, we'll just say his name was Junior, and they said, they give him a spanking. They said, now, Junior, that's a spanking. And they just kind of patted him a little bit and said, now, Junior, that's a spanking. Well, God don't have to tell us when he's spanking us. We know it. We know we're getting it. God will let trials come upon us to correct us. Just like he lets trials come upon us to mold our character, he'll let things come to us and on us to correct us from time to time. Now, we know judgment begins at the house of the Lord, and we're supposed to come here and judge ourselves by the word that comes forth. And then we won't come into the judgments of God. The people didn't respect Moses. You know, they said, you killed an Egyptian. What are you going to do, you know, now? You're going to kill one of us? Because we're having an argument between the two of us, a strife. They didn't respect him. And Brother Branham said God left them in bondage an additional 40 years because they didn't respect the deliverer. 4 years later, he brought him back, but let him stay in bondage another 40 years. Listen. Abraham was told by God they'd be in bondage 400 years. 400 years came, and God was going to deliver them. But they didn't respect the deliverer, so they end up being in bondage 440 years, an additional 40 years. Many times, Brother Branham said, he was talking about himself, so an evangelist like himself or someone would come through town and the people would come out to hear him and would come for him to pray for them, and they had faith that God would answer his prayer, which was nothing wrong with that. He said, but God also answers your pastor's prayer. He said, you don't need to wait for an evangelist, someone praying for the sick, and think that when they're gone, all healing virtue is gone. He said, that's the wrong impression. Your pastor, if he's a godly man, his prayers will be answered just the same as any evangelist or anybody else claiming a gift or anything. He's a man of God, and you should respect him that way and believe in him, and God will answer his prayer. So when you respect the man, then God will answer his prayer for you. If, Brother Branham says, if a family loses respect for the family, the children lose respect for the parents, then the family's tore to pieces. We need to think about that. He ain't just talking just about little bitty kids and growing up parents, but we got families here, and we need to think about respecting one another. And I can look back and I can see things that I thought maybe my dad should have done a different way concerning me or something, but that doesn't mean he doesn't deserve my respect. He deserves my respect because he was my daddy. And not just because he brought me into this world, but he took care of me. He didn't leave me desolate. I wasn't one of these kids that didn't know who their daddy was. I knew who my daddy was. He took care of me. He worked to make sure that I had clothes on my back and food on the table and shoes on my feet and a roof over my head. He looked out for me. And he was kind to me, and he loved me, and he deserves my respect. He wasn't perfect. He was a man. He was human. He wasn't perfect in all he did. He wasn't perfect in all his ways. He was human. As a father, I haven't been perfect. I've made mistakes. I can look back over things, and sometimes I wish I could take my kids back to being real little again and do it all over again, but you can't. You can't do it over again. So you got to go on. And kids, you need to go on too. You think that kids will get adults and they'll hold things against their parents. That's wrong. That's wrong. You shouldn't hold things against them because they were doing the best they could and the best they knew how. And I'll tell you something else. Years ago, there wasn't a lot of preaching on some of these things. The prophet preached about it, but a lot of other ministry, some of them shouldn't even have been preaching to start with, and they focused on other things. So your parents maybe didn't have the guidance, maybe somewhat, that you get. And so you need to take that into account. And see what God's doing now. And you know, when your parents hear, as parents, when you hear some of these things preached and you look back and you see how you did and you see what you were doing wasn't the right way, you wish you could go back and redo it all, but you can't go back and redo it all. So, you know, if you can go to your kids and say, look, I handled certain thing back in yonder time wrong, forgive me. And you know what? That should be the end of it. And honestly, they shouldn't even have to come and to ask you to forgive them. They were just being your parents. And they were human. And they're subject to mistakes. And if you think you're so great, then how come you're making mistakes? We ain't none of us perfect. None of us are mistake free. Now, Brother Bam says when a church loses respect for its pastor, the church is gone. In the book of Revelations, chapter 2, it says, remember therefore whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Brother Branham says, other words, If you got a God-filled pastor filled with the Holy Ghost and you try to hold him under your finger and say, well, if he says anything about us having a rogue choir, if he says anything about us wearing makeup, we'll excommunicate him. Don't worry. God will do it before you get a chance to. He'll go out and preach the stones on the street before he'll compromise with that kind of stuff. You got a pastor that really tells you the truth, you ought to honor God and stay in the Spirit and worship God, realizing that you're going to be lost if you don't. So, if the people don't respect the pastor God sends them, God can remove him. Remember the time when Saul was down there and he thought the Philistines was going to come in against him? And he was waiting, and he waited 7 days on Samuel to come and offer a sacrifice for them to be able to war against the Philistines. And Samuel didn't come during the appointed time. And so Saul lost patience with it, decided, I don't got to wait on Samuel. I'll just make the sacrifice myself. I'll just do it myself. What Saul did was, Saul got out of his God-given place and he stepped into his shoes that God had never called him to. He wasn't supposed to. He wasn't called of God to offer sacrifice for the people. That was Samuel's job. And many times people get out of their place and they say, well, this is what should be being done in the church, and that's what should be being done in the church. I'm going to tell you something. God don't bring correction to the church through nobody but the pastor. He doesn't bring it through the deacons. He don't bring it through the trustees. He don't bring it through the associate pastor. God only brings correction through the pastor, because that's who God has placed there to oversee that flock. Brother Branham said, we don't have a general overseer. Said the overseer of the flock is God. And he says, and God places a shepherd there, a pastor, to oversee that flock. Amen. Amen. God don't bring the leadership through nobody else. And it's not, Brother Ram said, God don't lead the church through a board of deacons. He don't lead the church through a board of trustees. We don't have a group of elders that God brings the leadership of the church through. I've seen churches like that, my friends. Message churches. And you know what? Look where they're at today. Things couldn't go on that way because that's not the way God ordained it. The pastor's not there just to be a preacher. He's not there just to be a puppet on the string for the board of elders. God places him there because God will choose one man to come down and lead that church through. The Holy Ghost is not an author of confusion. He's not going to come to four or five different people and tell them what direction the church ought to be taking, or what should be going on in the church, or how they should handle COVID, or how they should handle something else, or how the music should be. I'm going to tell you something. God doesn't lead the church on how the music should be by the laity. And when we go somewhere else to visit another church, you go somewhere else, you ought to respect this. Brother Branham said, every church is sovereign. I hope everybody that's not here today gets online and listens to this message. When you go and visit another church, that church is sovereign. They may not do things the way we do things here, but that don't make them wrong. You might think, well, I felt a little grieved. That was just you. That was your opinion. That wasn't the Holy Ghost, because the rest of the people in there had the Holy Ghost too, and they weren't grieved over it. That's their church. That's the way they do. That's how they worship. Then you should mind your own business and keep your trap shut. Don't think you can go in a church, well, if they're quieter than us, they don't clap their hands. Well, you're not going to go in there and stand them on their ear. God didn't send you around to be the corrector of all the churches. I had had Brother Bo come here to preach for us one time. You know, Brother Bo plays organ and sings. And somebody didn't like that he played the organ too loud. And I said to him, I said, look, he's a visitor. He only comes here every once in a while. It ain't like he's our regular organ player. That's how he plays the organ. That's how he worships God. God ain't bringing the leadership through you. God isn't going to tell somebody else, you should have this man in. Don't have that one in because he plays organ too loud. Friends, I'm going to tell you something. What you're seeing coming out of me isn't me. God's fed up with some of this stuff. God don't send you to visit some other church and correct that pastor on how that church should be run. I'm going to tell you something. There's things that go that how they're done here, I'd like them to be a little different than they are. I'd like our music to be a little bit louder. I'd like there to be a little bit more shouting. I'd like there to be a little bit more dancing. I'd like to, when we make an announcement about something that means something, that people applaud. Not sit there like dead bumps on a log. Brother Paul and Sister Susie were up at the church up there in Ohio when I preached the other night. I said something about them being there, and the people applauded that they were there. That's nice. You know what? Made them feel welcome. No doubt. Brother Branham says, you've got to love your pastor. Isn't that a quote? If you can't love your pastor, there's something wrong someplace. Look, I've had people tell me they didn't like how I did things, but as far as me being off on the word, they couldn't find a place where I was off on the word. Then what's the problem? Is your problem with my personality? Is your problem with the fact that you have a different opinion about how something should have been handled? I'm going to tell you something. I had more opinions than I got fingers or toes on what should have been done about David Horner when I first came here to pastor this church. I had people come to me left and right. You ought to kick him out. You ought to do this. You ought to do that. You ought to do this. And I wouldn't listen to none of them. I waited until God moved. Of course, people had their opinion about that. They thought it was all over my daughter. Well, if it was, then how come David Horner ended up saved? It was about his soul. That's what I care about, is people's souls. Your flesh might not always agree with me, but I'm not trying to get your flesh to heaven, because your flesh cannot inherit the things of heaven. Only your soul's going to inherit those things. So that's what I'm interested in, is your souls. Now, God has also gave me the responsibility for your flesh while you're here. And that's why I've done certain things to try to help keep you healthy. That's why Brother Joseph Hammond's canceling his services, because of health concerns over this new variant of the COVID. And that's why Brother Donnie's got his services closed down for 2 weeks, because COVID started back through his church, and he's got concerns for the people's health. Now, I pray, put it that way, I pray that that doesn't happen here and we don't have to close back down a church because of COVID. But I'm not going to go about this haphazardly and have some foolish thought But well, I don't fear it. My faith's going to keep it away from me. I've already told you about those things. There was a man said that one time because he said he never got sick. He didn't get sick. He said, my faith keeps the sickness from me. He died from cancer. Did he lose his faith? No. It was his time to go. His faith isn't what was keeping sickness from him. His practices and being a bachelor and living alone and not going out in fellowship with many people is what kept sickness away from him. Some people say, I don't fear it. And they live in an Amish community. They're not out around the general public as much. Well, then, praise God, y'all didn't get it. But I'm going to tell you this, you get the wrong attitude about it, and God's going to give you your comeuppance. You've got to love your pastor. You've got to know that he's a human being, but yet God has made him his pastor. The Holy Ghost has made him overseer. And then you got to respect him in that manner. No matter what the pastor's done, if you respect him in your heart as God's servant, God will respect you for doing it. In the Hebrews series, Brother Branham says, people with these saw blade tempers, it's always spouting off the mouth at somebody, can't put up, and things like that. Be careful. You're guilty if you speak a word against your brother. That's not right. Not just go around and tear down. You don't have to stick a knife in a man's back to kill him. You can break his character and kill him, kill his influence. Speak against your pastor here and say something bad about him, you might as well as shot him. Told something that wasn't right about him, well, it'll kill his influence with the people, things like that, and you're guilty of it. When you go around on the phone discussing what the pastor's doing about this and what the pastor's doing about that and what your opinion is or what this, that, and the other, I'm going to tell you something. You are walking on a fine line of killing his influence. God didn't send me here and then talk through one person to see whether that I was supposed to be here or not. He didn't send me here to be approved of by you. You got your vote and it got me in here. If you want to vote me out, you can vote me out. It ain't like I ain't got places to go. I'll be honest with you, there has been times I've went through things here that I enjoyed preaching other places more than I did preaching here. Amen. And that's a shame. I should enjoy preaching here. That hasn't been anything lately. It's things of the past. I've had people here that when they'd go out of town, I was grateful. One man asked me one time, said, you ever had anybody leave your church and you gladly left? And I said, yeah. He got real quiet because he was one of them that had left the church. Remember when Lazarus was dying and Martha, you know, ran up to Jesus and she said, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. But she says, even now, I believe you can bring him back. She said, Brother Branham said, that's the way to get something done. That's the way you congregation ought to be about your pastor. That's when God will answer. You've got to approach God's gifts with the right way and reverence. And the ministry is a ministry of gifts. They're gifts in the body, fivefold spiritual gifts that's predestinated and foreordained of God to the church. I know there's 9 local gifts in the body, but there are God's office gifts, office, apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists, and we must respect them if we're expecting something from God. So we've got to respect the fivefold ministry. I know there's folks that don't. They'll say they do, but they don't. They believe what any pastor of a church should be doing rather than preaching is putting a message on and push and play. And playing Brother Branham. Well, let me tell you this. I encourage you to listen to the prophet. That way when you come here and I'm saying things that I've come across studying and listening, that you can be with me. And you know what? Those things that you hear on the tapes, then God will bring those things out across the pulpit and make them plain and clear to you. See, they're afraid of the fivefold ministry. Now, why are they afraid of the fivefold ministry? They'll tell you they're afraid that they might tell them something that ain't right. But really what they're afraid of is they might tell them not to be doing something that they're doing or to do something they ain't doing. What they're really afraid of is headship, leadership. So they've got to make some man to be a holy man. Make him something great, make him more than human, so that they feel like they can have confidence in following. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Jesus Christ was human. And he said, come follow me. And Paul, the apostle Paul, was human. And he said, follow me as I follow Christ. Abraham talks about where in the Bible it said they took handkerchiefs off the body of Paul and aprons. And when they would lay them on people, why, if they were sick, they would recover. They'd get well. If they had a devil in them, why, it would lay in that cloth on them, the devil would come out of them. And he said, Paul's been gone a long time, but the Holy Spirit's still here. He's no respecter person. God gives people favor amongst the people, ministers to believe, and to believe that man, something about him that proves that God is with that pastor, they believe that. All full gospel believing people. And they take handkerchiefs and aprons and so forth from his body and lay them on the sick and afflicted, and they'll get well. That's why we believe in, if you got somebody that's out, can't get here, whatever, have a handkerchief prayed over, anointed, prayed over and took, and place it there with them. It wasn't just Paul's virtue, it was a virtue of the Holy Ghost in Paul. The message of Christ, the mystery of God revealed, we're all very familiar with this. Brother Adam says, you're all one great big happy group now. Now, we might not be great big, but I trust that we're happy. And he said, but Satan's not going to let you stay that way. He'll send somebody in if he has to among you to shoot some kind of poison in him to make him critical and make him get amongst you. And he says, don't you take sides with that. And he says, pray for that man that he'll be saved too, or that woman, or whoever it is. Just pray for him and stick one with another. Notice how he says it. Pray for them that they will be saved too. I'll tell you what, friends, I would not want to be guilty of being in a church and going amongst the people and talking and saying, well, maybe the pastor ought to do this, maybe the pastor ought to do that. Maybe, you know, the pastor just ain't got a connection with the old people the way he should have. Who died and made you God? God knows what he's doing. And I'll tell you something, friends. Yeah, I believe in calling around, checking on people, but I also believe we ain't hothouse plants. If I got to give you a bottle and change your diaper and treat you like a little old Pentecostal baby, something's wrong. Brother Branham called them hothouse plants. You know what a hothouse plant is? It's this, it's a plant they raise in a greenhouse, and it couldn't survive outside of the care it's getting in that greenhouse. And, you know, we ought to be able to stand on our own 2 feet at times. Nobody should have to be getting on the phone begging you to come to church. Nobody should have to get on the phone telling you you need to come to church. And you know what? You say, well, I've been sick. I had somebody one time tell me I hadn't seen him in a month. And they told me, said, well, you never called me. Well, I didn't know they wanted me to. And I said, well, why ain't you been to church then? Well, I've been sick. I said, well, the Bible says, if there be any sick among you, let them call. So I said, you never called me. And the Bible said, you're supposed to call me. If you're sick, you need prayer, you ain't at church, call me. I've had others call me. They can testify of it. They've called me and I'll pray for them right there on the spot. He says here in the greatest battle ever fought, he says, the brains of the army lays in its captains. The intelligence, Rommel, now we know Rommel was a general. But Rommel in Germany was the brains of Germany, not Hitler. Rommel, that's right. Eisenhower, military men, Patton, those men who were at the front. It depended on which way they gave the order. You follow your captain. If he's a right kind of a general, if he's a right kind, if he's a four-star general, if he's been proven to be right, follow him. Though it may be wrong, seem wrong to you, go on up to the front and do as he told you. Though it may seem wrong to you. Look, friends, I know that when God has me do things, that not everybody's going to agree with me. And I'm going to tell you something. What I'm doing wasn't my idea. Sometimes I have ideals different than what God ends up leading me to do. I'll tell you something. I've always been like this. I hate confrontation. I really dislike confrontation. Then I got to a place to where it made me get worried about it and made me get sick and I'd have stomach problems and everything else. And I got tired of that. So I thought, well, if I got to have a confrontation, let's just get to it and get it done and get it over with. And there's sometimes that there's something going on and me as a man, I really don't want to confront it. Because that's just how I am. I'd rather say, God, just come down and do something about it and me not have to say anything. Because I don't want to offend nobody. I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. I don't want to be misunderstood. But you know what? God said he didn't send me here so I wouldn't be misunderstood. I had some folks spreading things about me up in another location, another place, another state, people we fellowshipped with. I had them spreading things about me, saying things about me that wasn't right. And as a man, I wanted to go and tell them that wasn't right. I wanted to somehow try to make some kind of announcement so everybody they had told would know that wasn't right. You know what God told me? He didn't send me here to do that. He told me if people are going to talk about you, if they're going to tell you things that's not right, that's scriptural. Let it alone. I couldn't straighten it up if I wanted to. But you know what? Truth always comes out. There was people that told me when I came here that this wasn't going to succeed. We wouldn't make it. That one person said, oh my goodness, that's a graveyard for preachers. Preachers go there to die. I had a man tell me, he said, them people over there cannot be led. Another preacher, another pastor told me that. I've known them people for years and years, and they can't be led. They'll never come under your leadership. Well, I didn't listen to none of those things. You know why? Because I knew God had sent me here. So God was the only one I was listening to. I let them talk and have their say or whatever. I didn't refute it. I let them say whatever they were going to say and just went on my way. Didn't matter to me what they had to say. Before I ever came here, I was down in another state preaching and going to preach on Sunday. On Saturday, there was a meeting over in another state, and which wasn't a far drive. And Brother Ron Spencer was going to be preaching over there. And so the pastor of this church where I was going to preach and some of his brethren and that and other preachers and that got together and said they're going to take a van. And they called me up. Jonathan was with me. He was about 11 years old. And they said, we're going to go on over here and hear Brother Ron tonight. And you can preach for us in the morning. He says, you want to go with us? And I said, sure. And on the ride over there, I didn't know nothing about this church. I'd never even heard of Dixon before. But on the ride over there, somebody brought up something about Dixon. And some of the brothers in the van started chuckling. Well, I didn't know nothing about this place. I didn't know nothing about the people. But later on, when I did find out about the place, I remembered about that conversation that went on in that van. And I thought, well, I know what some people think about this. And you know what? It don't matter what people think. God sent me here, and God placed you here. And if people can't respect us as a church, then that's between them and God. I ain't gonna let that bother me. Don't let it bother you. Now, I know I haven't had any visiting preachers coming in through here lately. There's been reasons. It's one of them has been COVID, you know. And I think maybe, if I think about it, maybe the last visitor was here was a brother from Philippines, Brother Lanlan, came and preached here. And I guess that was the year before last. And last year, of course, COVID was going on, a pandemic, so we wasn't even having service. And then we haven't had anybody yet to this time. And some of it's because some of the people I'd like to have come, they ain't up to coming right now. I'd like to have Brother Jewel Forney come, but he's got his hands full, and I don't know how many of you know that he just had another stroke. And he's recovering from that, so keep him in your prayers. And I'm, you know, when I found out he had another stroke, I got to wondering what maybe some of the people that didn't go with him, you know, that didn't follow him, what they're about saying about him now. You know, saying, well, you see, he was wrong. And God's letting them. You know, But that ain't got nothing to do with what right is right. And this message is right. And to walk away from this message is wrong. Brother Branham says, he was talking about Moses, said God sent the messenger vindicated by signs that he was a messenger sent from God. Then it's up to them to obey this messenger. Exactly. They must obey the messenger and have respects to that messenger. Look at Joshua and Caleb. They stayed right by his side. Yes, sir. Whatever Moses was in, they was in it too. Whether Moses was right or wrong, they stayed right with him anyhow. Now, I'm not going to say that I'm always going to be right. And I can guarantee you, if I do something rather than waiting on the Lord to tell me what to do, I'll probably end up being wrong. There are things that has went on over the years with people that I... In myself, I got upset, and I wanted to jump on it with both feet. But I knew, wait until the Lord tells you what to do. You know, because sometimes something's going on and you want it just to stop, but you got to wait on the Lord. I've seen people going through things in their lives. You know, the devil wrecking havoc in their lives and them not knowing it. Them thinking they was having a good time. And I looked at it and I prayed for them and I prayed that God would help them and I prayed that God would give me leadership. Now, God don't handle everyone exactly the same. God knows what it takes for each individual. I preached a message some years ago. Brother Gene's always reminded me of that message constantly. I guess he still got it on tape somewhere. But it's, may I have your attention? I preached on that and I preached, God knows how to get your attention. God knew how to get David's attention. God had to take everything David thought he had from him to get his attention. But God knew how to get his attention. And I'll tell you what, that day that David come, which was, I think, August the 12th of what year now was it? 2012, August the 12th, 2012. David come and sat back here on the back row right down the pew from his mom, and the Holy Spirit began to speak to him. And, you know, and David said the right thing. And God brought him up here and delivered him of all them devils. Now, he ain't never been the same. He's not the same person that people around used to know. Now, he's still human. He's still got the same flesh of David. He still goes through the same trials David goes through. But there's been a change in him. And you know, I preached here recently up in Ohio, and I said, you know, when somebody don't bring up their past life, you know, God's done a work in their life. They might not be perfect. You didn't start out perfect. You didn't start out as good as you are now. You didn't start out that good. God had to work on you. So let's have patience with one another. We see somebody that God has delivered, somebody that God's doing a work in, have patience, God will finish the work. You know, years ago, there was a brother and sister, that a man and his wife, they came to church, and somebody had witnessed to them, and they came to church, and they accepted a message, and they got baptized. And this woman, she would wear her dresses kind of at a questionable length, I'll put it that way. And she still was wearing earrings. And some other woman from the church went to the pastor and said, I'll go over and talk to her and tell her she shouldn't be dressing that way and wearing them earrings. You know, some busybody. And you know what the pastor said? He said, don't you do it. You leave her alone. God will take care of that. The same word that came from the same place that caused them to believe and get baptized is the same word that'll come from the same place that'll cause her to quit wearing earrings and get her dresses down where they should be. If God could do one thing through the pastor and from the pulpit, he can do the rest of it. We don't need a society of women to go around and correct all the other women in the church. We don't need a board of men to go around and make sure all the men are doing what they should be doing. God will take care of that. See, you might have your opinion on how something should be done, but that's just your opinion. And everybody's got an opinion. And not everybody's opinions agree with one another. Whether Moses was right or wrong, that really struck me. Whether Moses was right or wrong, you know, I'm thinking about putting a clock back in here because sometimes I like to see the clock and see how long I've been preaching, and the clock on this iPad is real, real tiny, and my eyes ain't what they used to be. And I had the clock took out of here because people was turning around looking at the time while I was preaching, you know. But I'm thinking about putting one in here. Maybe I can put it where everybody can see it. You know, or something. I don't know. I've been thinking about putting one back in here so I can see the time and so I don't hold you too long. I don't normally. But, you know, Aaron and Miriam one time got to talking. I'm going to run a little over today, Brother Todd. I'm sorry. Not that you care, but I'm thinking about the time it'll be on the internet and all that. I'm going to run a little over today. But Miriam and Aaron, they got to talking amongst themselves about Moses married somebody that wasn't of Israel. Moses married an Ethiopian woman. And they got to talking about this and they were criticizing Moses. Now, Moses didn't know it. Moses didn't hear it, but somebody heard it. And that somebody was God. And God told Moses, said, you call Aaron the priest and Miriam the prophetess up here before me. And when Moses called them up before God, God spoke. And he said, he said, hear my words, if there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and I will speak to him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him I will speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, not in dark speeches and similitudes of the Lord should be. Behold, wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? They were looking at it that Moses had done something he shouldn't have done. And they were criticizing him. They didn't care for Moses' wife. Boy, this is coming right on the spot right now. They weren't particularly fond of Moses' wife, his selection of a wife. And God called him up and said, it ain't none of your business. It's between me and my servant. I speak lip to ear with him. And it caused Miriam to break out in leprosy. God said it had been better that your father had spit in your face than for you have to talk against my servant. And said, if Moses, Aaron said, surely she's your sister, surely you won't let this go on. Moses went before the Lord to ask for leprosy to be lifted from Miriam. And God spoke to Moses and said, if her father had spit in her face, she'd be shut out of the camp 7 days. And said, let her be shut out of the camp 7 days until she's clean. Now, the reason I told you this was because Brother Branham talks about it in the message. And Brother Branham says that there was a time when Meadie came to him over Joseph acting up. And she wanted Brother Branham to spank him. And Brother Branham said, Joseph repented. And so he said, seeing how you repented, I'm not going to whip you. And so Meadie got upset about it. And she went in and slammed the door on Brother Branham. Brother Branham said he didn't think nothing about it. He thought she was just nervous or something. And so he went on back out washing the car. And the Holy Spirit spoke to him and pointed him to the scripture where it talked about Miriam speaking against Moses and being struck with leprosy. And he said, you go tell her to read that. And he went in there to the door and said, honey, I want to speak to you a minute. She said, go away. And he said, I got a word from the Lord. And he said, that changed it. And so he told her what the Lord had told him. And he said, it scared him. And so time went on, she got sick. And then she went to the doctor and they found a cyst on her ovary that was about the size of a golf ball. And so in just a little bit of time, they hadn't done anything about it, and they were trying to make up their mind what they were going to do, and said, well, if they go have a surgery, well, then they'll end up being stuck where they were and wouldn't be able to get home for Christmas and all that. So she said, well, maybe we can wait till after Christmas, and then I'll have the surgery done. And when they checked it out, it had grown from a golf ball to a lemon. And so they were going to have the surgery done. And Brother Brown said, this has only happened a few times. He said, but I went and prayed. And the Lord said, whatever you say is how it be. And he said, before the doctor's hand touches her, you'll take away the cyst. And that's the way it was. But God, he said, now, Meadie, I didn't think nothing about it, but he didn't like that. Many of y'all know Brother Branham for a while wore a toupee. And one time, Billy Paul said something to him about the toupee. And the angel of the Lord come down and would have struck Billy. But Brother Branham spoke on his behalf. But he told Billy, he said, Billy, don't talk that way. That angel did not like that. So we got to be careful. Careful what we say about one another. Amen. Don't let little funny feelings get in here amongst us. Little funny feelings toward each other. Let's don't have that. I know that the devil was working overtime here just a couple of years ago, trying to cause as much division as he could in the church. And some people might not agree with what I'm getting ready to say, but I'm going to say it anyhow. The vessel God that the devil was using is no longer with us. So let's get rid of all them division of thoughts. Some know what I'm talking about. They know some of the stuff that was told, some stuff that was said, some stuff that went on. There was lies told about different people. There was lies told to me, lies told to other people. Told me lies on other people in the church. And told other people lies on me and other people. Well, let's let that be in the past. One person came to me and said, "Brother, you know, such and such was told on me. I never done nothing like that." I said, "I know. They told lies on me too." Well, let's let that be in the past. Let's get rid of these little funny feelings. Let's respect what God does here. Respect the leadership. Respect one another. Respect the ministry that God places here. Amen. Let's stand. Well, I ran about 10 minutes over or something like that. So, brothers are giving me a thumbs up. We're still good. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we've been here this morning, dear God, and the things you laid upon my heart to go over, Lord, and bring. And Lord, I wish that everybody would have been here. But Lord, I trust, Lord, that they'll get a hold of it online and listen to it, dear God. And that it'd be a help throughout the whole church, Lord. And Lord, I pray, God, Lord, just keep us on the straight and narrow. Lord, help me, dear God. I want to lead the church right, Lord. I want to make the right decisions. Lord, I want to do what you would have me do. Lord, you know better than I do, so I depend on you. You know more than I do, and you can see the future, and I can't. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you help us, Lord, to get our eyes off the past and get our eyes on what you're doing currently. We ask, dear God, that you be with your people today. I ask you, bless them, dear God. Bless their fellowships, Lord, and so on. And watch over them as they're going home to their separate homes, dear God. And keep them, Lord, and bring them back here at the appointed time. We never fail to give you the praise in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.